Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I grew up somewhat poor. My father was a professional gambler here in Las Vegas, so we were poor, rich, poor, rich, poor, rich. But he left us when I was 11, and so we had a single mom, couple kids, and we were pretty poor. When I turned 16, I wanted a car. I had two jobs, and so I kind of needed one to get around, and so I saved up my money and finally bought one. I bought a Mustang. It looked kind of like that, except for without the good-looking people coming with it, and my car was an absolute piece of junk. So it didn't look nice. It was that car, but it was like completely just a piece of junk. It cost me $300, this car, and it was a total mess. In fact, the entire front right quarter panel was duct tape. Like the whole entire quarter panel was just duct tape. After owning the car for a few weeks, I wondered what's under the duct tape. And so I very methodically removed each piece of duct tape, finally revealing nothing. There was nothing under the duct tape. The people had just kind of taken the tape and put it around. There was like, it was just missing a quarter of the car. And I was upset. I'm like, I bought three quarters of a car. But then I realized, well, I only paid $300. So still, it was only $100 per quarter. Not too bad. After a couple months, it died. I could not get it running again. So I bought the only car I could afford. It was a Le Car. I don't think they make Le Cars anymore, but just in case they do, let me just warn you that Le Cars are Le Crap. Like, for real, it died after a couple of months, and so I bought another car for like $200 or $300, and then that died, and I bought another one. It just went that way until I turned 20. This one particular week, it just so happened, coincidentally, I chose to give my life to God and become a Christian. And I visited my father, who had just come into some money, and he decided to buy me a car for $8,000. The year was 1990. It was a 1998 Nissan Maxima. Looked like that. I mean, it was sweet. Had only 15,000 miles. The car was awesome. It had everything. It was programmed with this woman's voice to talk to you. And so this car said to me things like, "Your door is ajar. And please buckle your seatbelt. And Vince, you are so hot." It didn't say that, but close. It was close. It was awesome. The car was incredible. And then 3 months later, I got T-boned driving on Main Street in Buffalo, New York. The car was totaled. Totaled. And so once again, I had to buy myself my own car with my own money. And once again, I had $300. And so I bought this old Toyota Celica with a power problem that I did not know about when I bought it. It was actually an electric problem. There was some kind of issue. When you turned the car off, instantly the battery died. I replaced the battery, I replaced the alternator, the starter, everything. Nothing fixed it. It was a power problem. It was actually an electrical problem, and it would have cost more to fix it than the price of the car. And so I had to learn to live with this power problem. It was horrible. Every time I wanted to start the car, the only way you could start the car was by getting a jump start. And so my best friends became jumper cables. And so literally, if I went to the store, to a restaurant, anywhere, I would have to park in the parking lot in a spot where I felt confident someone else could come in and put their nose of their car to the nose of mine. After I came out of the store or restaurant, I would put my jumper cables around my neck, and I would sit on the hood of my car waiting for someone to come and give me a jump start. Sometimes it would be hours just waiting. I just kind of sit there like this until somebody was like, "You need a jump start?" And I'd be like, "Actually, yes, I do." And they would give me a jump start, and man, it was horrible. I would just be sitting there like, I just need some power. Today we are in a series called Ghost Stories, and we're learning about the Holy Spirit, who way back in the day, some people called the Holy Ghost, Ghost Stories. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with and within people who have invited God into their lives. In this series, we're asking questions like, who is the Holy Spirit? What exactly does the Holy Spirit do in us? And today we're going to see that the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us power. I heard this story. I don't know, you may have heard it, but it was a story about this man named Jed. This is the saddest story. See, he was a poor mountaineer who could barely keep his family fed. So sad. But there's good news. It seems one day he was out shooting for some food, and out of the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Texas tea, pure gold. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you are like, what the heck are you talking about? Why are some of the people laughing right now? But that was the premise of the TV show, The Beverly Hillbillies. Some of you maybe are old enough, you grew up with it. Some of you, like me, saw some reruns when you were little. But it was about this family, the Clampets. And the Clampets lived forever in this hill country. They were dirt poor. But then one day, they discover that under their property the whole time was oil. And the show began with this catchy little song, and one of the lines in the song said, "Next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire." Now, I don't want to question the song, but question, when did Jed really become a millionaire? Think about it. It wasn't when the oil came out of the ground. He had always been a millionaire, right? As long as he lived on that property, he was a millionaire. He was an oil tycoon. He just didn't know that he was a millionaire, and so he didn't live like it, right? He was a millionaire who lived every single day like he was dirt poor. And I think that's exactly where many of us are at in life. Like, we have incredible power, but we don't know it. And because we don't know it, we don't live like it. We have power, but we live like we're poor. Like, we feel like we're victims. You ever feel like you're a victim? We feel like we can't overcome our problems. Ever feel like you can't overcome your problems? We feel like we can't do the good that we want to do. You ever feel like that? We feel like we can't say no to that temptation. It's just too tempting. You ever feel like you can't overcome temptation? See, we live like we're poor, but we're not. We are rich. We have power because we have the Holy Spirit. If you said yes to God's offer by putting your faith in Jesus, repenting and getting baptized, we'll talk about that in a minute, you have the Holy Spirit, and so you have unbelievable power. I want to show you a couple verses that talk about this, the power we have because of the Holy Spirit. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you today, and if you have a Bible, you can look them up. If not, you can read them up there. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. There's people behind there after every service who are available to talk to, ask questions of, help you take next steps in your spiritual journey. So Velcro Bar, free Bibles. Romans is a book in the Bible. Chapter 8, verse 11 says this: "The Spirit of God," there's the Holy Spirit, right? "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you." Check this one out. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he," sorry about God, "he may strengthen you with power," how? "Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." You are not poor. You are rich. You are not powerless. You have great power, the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from death 3 days in a grave, that raised him to new life, is the exact same power that lives inside of you and is available to you every day of your life. Amen. We need that power. Why do we need that power? We need it to live the life that we want to live. We need it to live the life that God wants us to live, which really is the life we want to live. Because the life that God wants us to live is the life that Jesus lived. See, here's the deal. God loves what makes you uniquely you. God designed you to be unique. He loves what's unique about you. He wants you to be uniquely you, but at the same time, he wants you to live the life that Jesus lived. Uniquely you, but more and more like Jesus, which is awesome. It's awesome. I mean, if you look at Jesus' life, you will realize that's the life I want to live. I want to live that life so bad. I mean, you read about Jesus, you realize that Jesus was sure of who he was. And Jesus was sure of God's love for him. So he wasn't needy. He didn't need other people's approval. He didn't need to succeed. It's like, no, he was full of God's love. Jesus was compassionate. He was loving. He was honest. He was funny. Like, there's nothing more I want for myself than to be like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is awesome. And also impossible, right? I mean, the problem is that Jesus was the perfect person and lived the perfect human life. Like, he loved God with everything he was. So he never sinned. He was tempted a lot, but he overcame every temptation, every single one, never sinned. He loved people perfectly. He never thought of himself, only others. He wasn't pushing his own agenda. He cared for other people that no one else would have cared for. He forgave and prayed for the people who killed him while they were killing him. He was like forgiving them and praying for them. Then that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind of life I want for you. But it's impossible, right? It'd be kind of like if I said to you, I want you to play basketball exactly like LeBron James. That sounds really cool, but it also sounds really impossible, right? I mean, you could practice, and if you said, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to play basketball exactly like LeBron James. You could practice and try really hard, and you would get better at basketball, right? You probably would. But you would not end up playing exactly like LeBron James. In fact, probably with all your practicing, you more and more would realize, I'm not even close. I'm never going to get close. Why? You just don't have it in you. You don't. And so probably what would happen is you just end up frustrated. You're like, why are you asking me to do something that I obviously can't do? Because you don't have the power to do what's been asked of you. God has asked you to live just like Jesus lived, which is awesome because he lived an amazing life, but at the same time, it seems impossible, right? It's like we can try even really hard. We might get a little bit better, but probably what's going to happen more is we're going to get frustrated because we realize we can't do it, except that we can. Except that we do have the power we need, not our own power, but God's power given to us, put in us through the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit if you've given your life to him. He gave you the Holy Spirit so that you could live like Jesus. You could love like Jesus. You could overcome temptation like Jesus. We have the power we need because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. So what happens is it's not me going, I'm going to try really hard to live like Jesus lived. It's me living like Jesus did, not in my power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We also need the Holy Spirit to serve like Jesus served. We want to be like Jesus. And you read Jesus' life, like you study it, you'll quickly realize, man, he was always serving other people. He was always making a difference in the life of other people. And that's what God wants for us. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to serve and make a difference in the lives of others. In fact, when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, one of the main repeated things it says is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to empower us to serve others. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and gives us spiritual gifts. That's what it says, spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is an ability, a strength given to Christians so they can be especially effective in a responsibility given to all Christians. Okay, so a spiritual gift is an ability to be especially effective in a responsibility given to all Christians. There are things every Christian is supposed to do, but the reality is some Christians are more effective than others. And we each have an area or two, something that God has made us especially good at, not for us, not for our own benefit, but for Him so we could serve other people for Him. They're called gifts because first, they were gifted to us. We didn't like develop it. It was given to us. And second, because we're supposed to use them as a gift to serve other people. Let me show you a couple of places the Bible talks about this. In the book called 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Okay, here's another one. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So again, when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into their life to supernaturally enable that person to do something for God within His church to serve and help God accomplish His mission. For example, the Bible says that some of the spiritual gifts that are given to Christians include the ability to encourage other people, leadership abilities, administrative abilities, teaching abilities, the gift of being especially generous, the gift of showing hospitality, of showing empathy to hurting people, the gift of being able to explain very effectively Jesus to someone who doesn't know or believe in Jesus. You might think, they don't sound very special. Those just sound like very normal abilities. Yeah, but they are special. They're special when those abilities are given to God, dedicated to God's service, because then God gets behind them and He starts to work through them. And the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit empowers every single believer with at least one spiritual gift to be able to be used to serve other people for God. Often the spiritual gift that you're given is something that you already had some natural ability in even before you became a Christian, but the Holy Spirit kind of takes that natural ability and supercharges it for God's purposes. So, if you're a Christian, and at Verve we get lots of people who are like, I'm not there yet. Like, I'm here to find out more about faith, but I'm not there yet. Cool, I'm so glad that you're here. But if you are a Christian, you have one of these spiritual gifts. Reality is you probably have more like two or three gifts that God has given you. And so there's something that everyone's supposed to do, encourage others, be hospitable to others, teach others, lead others, show empathy to others. Every Christian's supposed to do it, but you are gifted at it, so you should do it more and you'll be more effective. Make sense? You might be wondering, what's mine? What's my gift? Like, how do I discover what my gift is? Well, primarily by two methods, either by examining or by experimenting. First, you can examine. So it's like looking back at your life and asking questions like, in the ways I've served God so far, what have I enjoyed doing? And what am I passionate about? And where have I made a real impact on people? Where have I seen results? The answer to those questions will probably reveal your areas of spiritual giftedness. Now, some of you might not have a lot to look back on yet because maybe you're like a brand new Christian or perhaps you just haven't tried serving really yet. Well, then you'll have to rely on the second method, which is probably better anyway, which is experimenting. You serve, you volunteer in different kinds of ministries and different kinds of roles, and you kind of figure out, what am I good at? What's my gift? And we try to help that process by doing what we call first serves. A first serve means that when you sign up to serve here at Verve, you are not committing to life. It's not like, I hope I like this because I have to do it for the rest of my life because I told them I would. When you sign up to serve, you are signing up to serve one time. as a way of kind of kicking the tires, giving it a test run, and seeing if it's your area, your gift or not. And so what you'll do in that one time is you'll mostly shadow someone else who's already doing that and kind of determine, like, could I be good at this? Would I enjoy this? Is this the kind of thing I want to do? And if so, great, you found it. Cool. And if not, well, then you can do another first serve and try something else. If you want to try a first serve, and if you're not currently serving, I would say you should. Two ways you could sign up for that. One is get out your phone right now. Go to vivalaverve.org/first serve. Like, you can really do this right now. I'm not kidding. You can get out your phone, do that right now, and you can sign up right there. Or if you're like, I don't feel like getting out my phone, or I don't have a smartphone, I'm still kind of stuck in 1998. Well, then you can get out your connection card that was on your seat. Give us some contact info. On the back, it said, I'd like more info about, check volunteering, and we will contact you and help you to do a first serve. When you do, you'll discover there's some things that you're really good at and you enjoy them, and it's not like I have to serve. It's like I get to serve. And when you found that, you found your gift. And then it's time to develop your gift. So you develop it so you can make a bigger and bigger difference in the lives of other people for God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live like Jesus lived, so we can love like he did, so we can overcome temptation like he did, so we can serve people like he did, and so we can endure suffering like he did. So we can endure suffering like he did. You know, when Jesus was persecuted and arrested and falsely accused, he endured it. When he was physically tortured and then crucified, he endured it. And not only did he endure that, he, like I said, he forgave and prayed for the people who were killing him as they were killing him. Crazy, right? And again, it seems like, well, maybe that's something only Jesus could do. And I would be like, yep, I agree. Except we have God inside of us. We are exactly in the same exact situation that Jesus was in. We're living a human life with God inside of us. That was Jesus. He was a human life with God inside of him. And so we can do what he did because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the early Christians was a guy named Stephen. And in a Bible book called Acts, which is all about the Acts of the early Christians, we read about this guy, Stephen. At one point in the middle of a city, he gives this speech, kind of a sermon-y kind of thing, about Jesus. Well, the Jewish leaders who had Jesus killed and who had threatened anyone who kept talking about Jesus, because people who kept talking about Jesus were threatening the religious leaders' power. They were not happy with Stephen. Check out what happens in that book called Acts, starting in verse 54. The Jewish leaders were infuriated, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he, Stephen, told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they, the religious leaders, put their hands over their ears and began shouting, which seems odd to me. They're like, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, we can't hear you, with their hands over their ears, apparently. Check this out. They rush at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him, which does not mean they offered him weed, okay? As they began to stone him, they literally took rocks and were throwing them, like bashing his head in with rocks. That's what it means. It says, his accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they, as they stoned him, Stephen, check this, prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. How did Stephen respond? Exactly like Jesus did. He prayed for and forgave the people who were killing him as they killed him. Stephen was just a guy like you and me, right? Just a person. How did he do that? It said, did you notice it said he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowered Stephen to endure suffering, and he does the same for us today. So remember, I told you that my dad bought this really nice car for me, $8,000, and it got totaled. Well, that awesome car he gave me, it just so happened, pure coincidence, he gave it to me the same exact week that I became a Christian. And I felt like that car was a gift from God. It wasn't. It was a gift from my dad. But I just felt like it was like, man, I give my life to God. I've had crappy cars my whole life. I give my life to God, and boom, I get this $8,000 car. Thank you, God. You blessed me with this car. This is like God gave this to me. 3 months later, this guy T-bones me. The car is totaled. It's gone. And I could not understand it. I was a brand new Christian, and so I was not very mature in my faith. My perspective was messy, but I was just angry at God. Like, I questioned God. I was like, God, why didn't you prevent this from happening? Why wouldn't you protect this car? Why would you give me this car and then take it away? Like, I was mad at God. But I kept praying and reading the Bible every single day. I didn't want to. I didn't. I was mad at God. I felt betrayed by God. I had no interest in praying, and I had no desire to read the Bible. And every single day, I prayed and read the Bible. I prayed and read the Bible. And as I did, something happened inside of me. Like, I felt a strength that I did not have. It was not my own. My perspective totally changed over those next few days. And in fact, in some unexplainable way, my despair turned to joy. I don't mean like my bad feelings went away and I got better. I mean that like the very thing I was despairing over, those feelings turned to joy. I became joyful that I lost the car. I became joyful that it happened. It was one of the weirdest things of my whole life, and still is. 27 years later, I'd be like, that was the weirdest week ever. Something happened in me, and it was not me. It was because I had the Holy Spirit in me. And the Holy Spirit gave me power to endure suffering. What I realized is I had incredible power. I just didn't know it yet. I just didn't understand what I had. You have incredible power. You just may not realize it. And if you don't know it, you won't live like it. But you have power. We have power because we have the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. So last week, we saw how the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life. Maybe you weren't here last week. Maybe you're wondering, do I have the Holy Spirit inside of me? Like, how does a person get the Holy? Do we all have the Holy Spirit? No, we don't all have the Holy Spirit. So how do you get the Holy Spirit? We get the Holy Spirit inside of us when we say yes to God, put our faith in Jesus, repent, and get baptized. That is the promise that God has made to us. Look at it in Acts chapter 2. And there's a bunch of other places that say the same thing. But it says this. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it says to repent. To repent just means to turn around, to change direction. The idea to repent of your sins means that I am turning away from the life that I've been living. I'm turning and moving in God's direction. So it's to repent and be baptized. To be baptized is a person's lowered underwater, symbolizing being lowered into a grave, representing a death to your old life without God. And then they're raised up out of the water, symbolizing being raised up out of a grave to a new life that you will live with and for God. So the Bible says, if you want God to forgive your sins and you put your faith in Jesus, then repent and be baptized. If you want to have the Holy Spirit inside of you, God living inside of you, repent and be baptized. When we put our faith in Jesus, we repent and we get baptized. From that moment on, we have the Holy Spirit, and so now it's up to us to plug into the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about fanning into flame the gift of the Spirit, being filled, being under the influence. We need to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. So think of it this way. Some of you probably have one of these at home. This is an electric knife, right? You get this out like at Thanksgiving when you're going to cut a turkey. But here's the deal. It's a knife, right? And so you can use it just like a regular knife. You can take this anytime you want, and you can just cut meat. Like you could try to carve a turkey just like this. You don't have to plug it in, right? And what will happen, though, is when you're cutting that turkey, when you're trying to get through that bone, like then you are going to have to work really hard because you have less power and you will be less effective, right? If you don't plug it in, you're going to work harder because you have less power and you're going to be less effective. Your other option is you can plug it in, right? You can plug it in. Some of you are wondering, is he going to cut his finger off? It's possible. You can plug it in and you can go to carve your turkey, but when you do, right, all of a sudden, you are going to work a lot less hard because you have a lot more power and you are going to be far more effective, right? Less work, more power, more effective. And it's exactly the same with us. As you live your Christian life, you have a choice. You can try to love God and love people perfectly without plugging in. If you do, extra work, less power, you're not going to love very well. You can try to overcome temptation without plugging in. Some of you have been, right? And so it's extra work, less power, you're going to find yourself sinning kind of a lot. You can try to serve without plugging in. If you do, it's going to be extra work, less power, you're not going to make as big a difference as you should, and you're going to get really tired of serving. You can try to endure suffering without plugging in. Extra work, less power, you're going to find yourself feeling overwhelmed by your feelings of pain and suffering. You can live that way as a Christian, or you can plug in to the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? How do you plug into the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's lots of ways. We talked about four or five of them last week. But the best way I know is exactly what I did when I felt so bad and so powerless. I just kept reading the Bible, and I just kept praying, even though I didn't feel like it. I'm being honest. There was not one single day where I felt like, I want to read the Bible. I had no desire to. There wasn't one day I'm like, I just feel like spending some time with God and praying. Not single day I wanted to. I just kept saying, I got to read the Bible. I got to pray every single day. And as I did every time, it was like I was connecting with God. I was plugging into God. Not just God up there, yeah, but God in here, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. And as I connected, I plugged into the Holy Spirit, and I was, now you choose not to work, really? Empowered. I was empowered, right? It was like, man, I don't get this. I'm not doing it alone. I have some kind of power I've never had before. I'm dealing with this in a way I never would have had before. I have thoughts and perspective in my head I would never have had. You just keep praying and you just keep reading the Bible. But Vince, you don't understand. What if I don't feel like it? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You make a decision. I'm going to do it anyway. And here's what you'll find. When you go to do it and you don't feel like it, you're going to find that you have help. Because another thing that the Bible says the Holy Spirit does for us. Do you want to read it later? It's the book of Romans chapter 8 verses 26 and 27 says that the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray or we don't want to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. So if you don't feel like it, well then that day, you do it anyway. Do it anyway. I mean, here's the real question. Do you want power or not? Do you want to live your life with power or not? You do, right? We all do. That's what we all want. It's what we all need. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, because we need his power. Listen, we are not poor. We do not have a power problem, right? We do not have to sit in life just kind of hoping, you know, I need power, give me power. No, we have God's Holy Spirit inside of us. The same exact power that raised Jesus from death to life lives inside of us. You have that. If you've said yes to God, put your faith in Jesus, repented, been baptized, you have that power. If you've never, then you can have that power. Because you can say yes to God today, and we're doing baptisms next weekend after every service. After every service on Sunday and Monday, we're doing baptisms. And you could choose today, I'm doing it. I need God. I want God to forgive my sins, and I need the power of God living inside of me. And so I'm going to do that. And if you would like to do that, or if you have questions about that, you can go to the Velcro bar. You can register for those baptisms, or you could just say, hey, contact me. I've got some questions about that. We'd love to talk to you. And we need power. We need to plug into power so we can live the life that God has for us. So let's pray for that right now. Okay, let's pray. God, what an amazing thing that that you love us so much. It's mind-boggling that you love us so much. You came down, lived a human life, died on a cross so that you could forgive our sins. And as if that wasn't enough, then you make this offer to come and live inside of us so that we can live the life that we couldn't live on our own. This life that we want to live with lots of love and with much less sin and with serving people and being able to get through the hard times in life, endure suffering with our jobs, our marriages, whatever it is we go through. God, we need that, and you offer that. Thank you. God, I have to imagine that in this room right now, there are some people who have never said yes, who have never invited you into their lives, who have never said, God, I need what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. I want my sins forgiven, and God, I need you to move inside and empower me to live this life. God, I say yes. God, if there are people who have never done that, I pray right now that they might be ready to say, okay, I'm in. I need this. And that when this service is over, they go right back to the Velcro bar and say, hey, I need to get baptized. How do I do that next week? God, for those of us who have already done that, we need to plug into your power. We choose every day, am I going to live this day on my own in my own power, or do I live this day with you in your power? God, help us every day, whether we feel like it or not, to pray and read the Bible, to plug into you in your power so that we can experience you in a new way, in a bigger way than we ever have before. God, I pray all these things for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.